So let's stand this morning. Luke chapter number 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to go back and I'm just going to read one verse. And I've been careful in preaching this series not to, by the grace of God, not to repeat a sermon just as far as preaching the same thing that I've already preached. But because of the occasion this morning, I want to go back. I've been preaching from this text since the last Sunday of Christmas, or since in Luke chapter 15, and I had no intentions of doing that when I started preaching here in Luke 15 and verse number 1. But God just had His way, and so I want to be obedient to the Lord. You say, how many more sermons are you going to preach? Might be the last one. I don't know, but I want to preach till the Lord is done with this chapter. And so I was praying a few weeks ago about what the Lord would have me to preach for this Sunday. And I was talking with my wife about this and just telling her to help me pray. And I didn't think I would preach from Luke chapter 15, but the Lord spoke to my heart. And then she's going to give you something this morning as you leave that goes along with the message that she found. And so you'll get this as you leave this morning. But Luke chapter 15, just one verse of Scripture, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name that you would help us now. Lord, I know you laid this message upon my heart, and I pray you'd make it real, Lord, to the listeners this morning. May the will of God be done. I pray that you would get the glory, the honor. And Lord, I ask most of all that you would speak to us and speak through us. Help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And God, we need to do business with you this morning. I pray anybody here that's lost, God, that you would put them under deep Holy Ghost conviction right now. Speak to their heart about the need for salvation for their soul. May they come to an altar of repentance and faith this morning and be born in the family of God. I pray for we that are saved this morning that you would speak to us. And Lord, may you stir the waters of revival in our soul. And Lord, help us to have a burden for our nation this morning. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Preaching through this passage, I've not wanted to go back and deal with any verses that we have already dealt with, but I want to use this verse this morning for the subject that that God has laid upon our heart. And when you come to verse number 11, you notice that there are two boys that is in this verse here. As the Bible says, that a certain man had two sons. And I want you to think about this verse because as we look at this verse this morning, we know that when we think about these two boys, that they speak to us as a parable. That is what Jesus is doing in this text here, is that Christ is giving a parable. Now, He talks about the lost sheep, and He talks about the lost silver, and He talks about the lost son. And so all three of these stories combined together, they give us a parable. And I mentioned that this morning because as I've been preaching these last several weeks and months through this text, I do want to remind us that these are not literal boys. This is not a literal story here, but it is a parable. You know, a parable has been defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so these boys represent a parable. And then these boys also represent a principle here. Jesus is giving this parable, but it is connected with the parable of the lost silver, the parable of the lost sheep. So there's been a lot of debate down through the years as to whether or not these are three parables or whether or not they are one. And I wouldn't argue the point this morning, but the Bible does say, I think in verse number 1 here, somewhere in this text, I will find it, verse number 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying." So Jesus gives three stories here, but he is speaking a parable. Now whether you believe it is three parables or one parable, it does not matter, because the principle of this parable, along with all the others, the stories that are mentioned here, is that God is defining, or Jesus is driving home the principle about all three were lost. Amen? The sheep was lost because he wandered. The silver was lost and did not even know that it was lost. You know, some people are lost because they've wandered out into this world and they've just wandered away from the gospel. They've just wandered away from the things of God. Some people are lost in this world and they do not even know that that they're lost. They have never heard the gospel. They have never been preached to. And then there is the lost son here who willingly, by his own choice, he walked away. And he made a conscious decision, amen, to walk away. And so he is lost. But the principle is lost. So these boys here, they represent a parable and they also represent a principle. Now, I said all that this morning to say this. They also represent a people. If you go back to verse number 1 and verse number 2, in context of what I want to preach on this morning, Jesus is speaking in verse number 1 to publicans and sinners. He's speaking to Pharisees and scribes in verse number 2. There are two separate crowds. I preached a sermon on that. There is the rough crowd in verse number 1. There is the religious crowd in verse number 2. But what I want you to see, they may have separated themselves and they may have identified themselves as two different crowds. But when you think about it, they're all one people, aren't they? They're one nation. They're Jews. They represent the nation of Israel. And when you think about this, Jesus is not just speaking to individuals here, but he's speaking to a nation. And when I think about the nation of Israel, it mirrors America. Now we don't have the covenant. We don't have the promises as a nation that God gave to Israel. And I want to say, I still believe the Old Testament covenant that God made with Israel. Amen. There's a teaching on the rise today in America, sadly, and I believe it has emboldened anti-Semitism, and that is that the Old Testament promise and covenant that God made with Abraham to Israel no longer exists. Well, I want to tell you something. That's a bunch to hogwash, amen, because it is still Bible, amen, and the reason that God has been good to America is because we kept the Old Testament covenant that God made with Israel. We have blessed that nation, and God has blessed us, and we've kept the New Testament commandment that he gave to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And woe to this nation if we turn our back on America, on Israel, and woe to this nation if we quit sending out missionaries and preaching the gospel. But what I want to say is that these two boys, they represent a people, a nation. Not just any nation this morning, but a nation that's been set free. God brought them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea and into the wilderness, across the Jordan and into Canaan. And God fulfilled His promise. They're a nation that has been freed. They're a nation that has been favored. You would agree this morning that God has blessed Israel. And God has made a covenant. God has made a promise. God has blessed the nation of Israel. They are a nation that has been freed. They are a nation that has been favored. God said, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest amongst all people, but because you were the fewest. And God said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. A nation that's been freed. A nation that's been favored. A nation that has been forgotten. The world has always hated Israel. From the time of their existence, the world has wanted to annihilate this nation. And the reason for that is because Satan hates God. And Satan has wanted to do away. No other nation has ever faced the Holocaust or faced what they have faced. Why? There's always been this desire to annihilate the Jews and to take the Jews out. Hitler killed over 6 million Jews. And you think about all through this nation's history, and one day there'll be the Holocaust of all Holocausts when the Antichrist and the beast, the false prophet, when they seek this nation. During that time of tribulation period, it'll be a time of Jacob's trouble whenever the Antichrist will do everything he can to annihilate the nation of Israel. Now, why is that? It's because the devil hates this nation. Because the devil hates whatever God loves. And they are a forgotten nation. They are a fallen nation. Never has there been a nation that has had more promises, more covenants, and more blessings by God. They're the nation. This is a Jewish book. They're a nation that has been blessed. God sent the prophets through this nation. God raised the apostles through this nation. God raised this nation up. God used this nation, and God has blessed this nation. God gave the canon of scriptures through this nation here. I'm telling you, God has been good to them, but they are a nation. From the time of their existence, you can read through the Old Testament, you can read the book of Judges. Israel was a nation that turned their back on God repeatedly. God brought them out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, through the wilderness, crossed the Jordan into Canaan. And time and time again, they would turn their back on God, turn to the idols of this world, the false gods of this world. God would allow them to go into bondage. They would cry out to God, and God would deliver them, wouldn't He?
Yes, sir.
They're a fallen nation. But they are a nation that will be found one day. For God is not through with the Jew. In 1948, Israel became a nation once again. Israel does not look to Christ. Israel does not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah, but one day at the end of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist and the false prophet has rallied all the troops and the kings and the captains of this world and brought them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat in the plains of Megiddo, there the battle of Armageddon is going to take place, and they will rally the troops to believe that they will conquer the Son of God. In Revelation 19 and verse 11, the Bible says, John said, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He said, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. The Bible said, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, and the Bible said, in white linen, fine and clean. The Word of God, the Bible says that out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And the Word of God said he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, one of these days, that little old nation will come out of that rose red city. Jesus is going to step out on a cloud, and with a mighty army, the church of the living God, the bride of Christ, we're coming back. Thank God. And Jesus will speak. And the Bible said there'll be an angel standing in the sun that'll call all the fowls of the air together to eat the flesh of kings and captains and the flesh of mighty men. But Christ will speak, and the blood will flow to the horse's bridle through that valley.
Amen.
And our Savior will put His feet on the Mount of Olives. And that mountain will divide from east to west. And Christ will come walking down through that Jezreel Valley. And they'll come out of that city, that rose red city, Petra. And the Word of God says they'll see Him. They'll cry, Bahamasia, which means come, O Jehovah. And the scales will fall off their eyes. And the Word of God said a nation will be born. They'll be found in one day. Can you imagine that? And He'll walk down through that valley. They'll see Him for who He is, the Messiah. They'll see the wounds in His hands. They'll ask Him where He got them. He said, I got them in the house of my friends. And Jesus will walk through that eastern gate. Psalms 24, them gates will lift up as the King of Glory comes in. He'll walk in the city of David, and He'll sit on the throne of David. And for 1,000 years, Israel is not just going to be the capital, but they'll be the capital of the entire world. And we'll enter into His gates with thanksgiving there in that city, and into His courts with praise. We'll be thankful unto Him, and we'll bless His name. Why? We'll say during that millennial time, we'll say the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations, is what we'll say. You know why? Because they are a nation that will be found. And when I think about all those things, I think about America. We too are a nation that have been set free. A nation that has been highly favored. A nation that has forgotten God just like they did. We are a nation that has fallen Truth has fallen in the streets. And I believe America is a nation that will be found. You say, Brother Gravelin, America's not mentioned in the Bible in the last days. I understand that. But I believe the God of the Bible is still the God of revival. And I want to preach on the subject this morning on the prodigal nation. The prodigal nation. Because when I think about these boys, they mirror, Jesus gave the story to point that not only were the people lost, but that the nation was lost. These boys are a picture of individuals, but they're a picture of the nation of Israel. And if they're a picture of the nation of Israel, they're also a picture of America. Because everything you read about these boys, you can also read and see the nation of Israel and America. You know, there's a great bond between America and Israel.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things that mirrors between these two nations is our liberty and our freedom, our God, but also our sin. And I want to preach a few minutes on a prodigal nation. I want you to notice this morning in verse number 12, a nation blessed. Because the Bible says the younger of them said to his father, look at this, father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Just like the prodigal son had been blessed with so many things. He had been blessed with a good father. He had been blessed with a lot of good things at the hands of his father. He said, give me the portion of goods. There was a lot. He had a good life. He had a lot of portion that he was already enjoying, but of course he wanted more. And I want to say, in America, we have been blessed. Amen. I tell you, the Bible said in James chapter 1 that every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, from whom is no variable, it's neither shadow of turning. You realize this morning that everything good that we enjoy in America, God gave it to us. Amen. We live in sealed houses. We drive air-conditioned vehicles. God has been... I'm not going to apologize for the blessings of God this morning, but I do want to look up and say thank you, God. I may not be driving a Rolls Royce or a Lexus this morning. There's nothing wrong if you do. I say more power to you. Amen. I'm telling you, if God's blessed you, don't you dare apologize for God being good to you. Listen, you, if God's give you a good suit of clothes, if He's let you live in a nice home, I live in a nice home. I don't deserve the home I live in. You live in a nice home, and you don't deserve it, but God has been good to us. I'm telling you, if it all went up in smoke right now, I'd just say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, but blessed be the name of God. But I want to say thank you, Lord, that you let me be born in a land of prosperity. Amen.
Amen.
The problem with this boy was he never thanked his father for what he had. She said it right this morning. I'm telling you, to have a bed and a pillow and a roof over your head, nobody in this room is worried about where their next meal is coming from. It's over in a fellowship hall, matter of fact. You know what hot dogs are for, don't you? It's for people that have absolutely no conscience for their stomach whatsoever. But they taste wonderful, don't they? For 3 days, they will taste wonderful. They're all beef, by the way, too. Amen. And no pork, thank God. And no turkey for all you health nuts out there. Amen. No, these are just good old-fashioned American beef hot dogs that you'll burp, amen, till Thursday. But thank God, they'll be good for your body. Amen, I think so. But God's blessed us. I don't think nobody sitting here today would go home and open their refrigerator and say there's nothing in there. I'm telling you, God has been good to us. And this morning, a nation that is turned away from God forgets the blessing. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I believe, I love the song, God Bless America. We sung it this morning. And I tell you, it's time that America turns that around and blesses the God that has blessed America. It's time we look up and think about where the acorns are coming from. I'm telling you, friend, God's been good to us. You realize how blessed we are to have a church in 2026. I'm not just talking about a place to come to. I'm not just talking about a beautiful building with a steeple. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I can come to this church and hear some old-fashioned singing and some old-fashioned preaching. Amen. Hey, listen, we didn't have frontline singers this morning. There's no dance team. There's no praise team. There's no fog machine. We've not got rid of the choir. We've not got rid of the pulpit. We're still having Sunday school. We still believe in the King James Bible. Amen. It's not watered down. We're not playing church. Thank God for a good place to worship. Hallelujah. I'd rather have the house of God as have my own house, wouldn't you? I'm talking about the building. You know what I'm saying? Brother, I'm telling you, if all I had to go to was some of this mess, I mean, I see it. They got their, they got their early service, their contemporary service, and they got their traditional. I'm going to tell you something. We're not having either one of them. I don't even like the word tradition. You say, y'all have traditional service? I say, no. We have old-fashioned church down there. Amen? We have biblical church. You know, I don't slap traditional on us. What we're doing is more than traditional. It's biblical. Amen? There's a reason we have a pulpit. There's reason we have offering plates. Hey, there's reason we come and we sing them old songs. We're not going to drum it up, beat it up. We're not going to honky-tonk it out. I'm telling you, we're not going to rock it out this morning. We're going to sing songs that sound like heaven and songs that talk about Him. We're going to sing about a bloody Calvary. We're going to preach hellfire and brimstone. We're going to worship the Lamb of God. It's still real in 2026, and we are blessed. Hallelujah. There's so much coming down the pot nowadays. They say to preachers, and I've heard it, it's not just hearsay. Oh, you can't say that anymore. I'm just going to keep on saying it. Well, yeah, you know, that you can't preach like they preached in the 80s. Why not? Still works. You're going to offend somebody. You know, the first time the preacher hung me out over hell, it offended me. But he came back the next Sunday and did it again. And you know what it did? It drove me to the cross. Hallelujah. We need more preaching on sin. We need more preaching on hell. We need more preaching on the second coming. We need more preaching on heaven. We need more preaching on the cross. We need more preaching on the Spirit-filled right life. You know why? Because we've been blessed. Hallelujah. Our heritage, our hope, our honor. This boy had heritage. This boy had hope. This boy had honor. Amen. But he turned away from it. Just like that boy was blessed, Israel was blessed, and America's been blessed. A nation blessed. How about a nation blinded? Look at verse 12 again. Father, give me, look at this, the portion of goods that falleth to me. That boy can't see what real riches are. He thinks he deserves something. He's blinded by his pride. He thinks he can do more than his father can do. He's blinded by prosperity. He cannot see the love of the Father because he's so wrapped up in the goods, that what he can get in life. Isn't that America today? People don't think about God. They think about pleasure. They think about prosperity. This boy was all about pleasure. Brother Barnes was preaching this morning in the fellowship hall about work, and I say amen to that. Every young man ought to work, and every young man ought to sweat. Every man ought to have some, he ought to have some calluses on his hand. Amen. I'm telling you, listen. Go out there and just hold a board all day if you don't have no calluses. I mean, your hands ought to not be soft. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, you ought to pick your tie every now and then when you're tying it. If you got soft hands, that'd make me nervous. Amen. But you know, you ought to work. That greater generation, they built the America we're living in. They built the factories. I mean, you go out there, one of them cars, three Chevys parked out there. There's more, but there's three, you know, sons of thunder is what I call them. Amen. American made. I had a Chevy sitting in my garage a few years ago. It sat there for 17 months. Never cranked it. I went out there one day, and my wife was sitting in the garage, and I said, well, I'm going to see if I can crank this thing. I patted the gas about 14 times, pulled that fuel up, turned it, and it fired right up. And my wife said, I can't believe it. I said, I can. 1965 American made. Can I get an amen right there? I know I'm on automobiles. What I'm trying to tell you is that nation, though that generation, they built this country. They worked. They knew how to sweat. They knew how to labor. They knew how to build some things at last. This is a throwaway society that we're living in. I mean, everything's plastic, amen? And it costs five times what it cost in that day and that time, but it doesn't last. Can I get a witness on that? I'm telling you, they built factories. They fought wars. They sent their sons off to war, and they built rock altars and had cottage prayer meetings, and the nation had revival. You know why? Because people looked up. They weren't blind. They knew everything they had. God had given it to them. They knew when their boys came home, whether they came home in a box or whether they came home on a train, that they knew that it was God that took this nation and made it what it is. But we're living in a society, they don't honor the flag, they don't honor their parents, they don't honor a police officer, they don't honor a teacher in school, they have no respect for authority, they think they deserve everything. I'm telling you, that's not everybody. I know that's not the young people sitting here, because you've had a good raise and had a good heritage, but there's a generation that wants to be taken care of, and they don't know how to do anything. Amen. I do anything. Ask them to crank a lawnmower. They know how to do that. They don't know how to. They don't know how to change a spark plug. Some of y'all are dying on me right now, but I'll tell you, hang in there. It's going to get worse. Okay. I like this kind of preaching. You may not like it, but I'll tell you, I like it, praise God. It's the kind of preaching I grew up on, amen. My daddy wasn't even saved, but I'll tell you what, he believed that God gave him two boys on this earth to mow the yard and wash the cars. We had three bombers. Every time it rained, they changed colors. They had so much primer on them. And on Saturday morning, my dad said, "Now you need to go wash the vehicles." I was like, "Why?" I said, "Dad, they that one truck, we had old 76 Chevy with three on the tree." And I'm going to tell you, it had so many coats. It started out in the 70s, lime green. That was the original paint job. And then one day my dad was going down the road, and he was so interested in looking at a garden right there. He crossed an old steel bridge in Eton, and he was so wrapped up in that garden. And I remember sitting right there, and he got a little bit over, and somebody hit that bridge, and there was a little bit of that iron hanging out. He hit that bridge, and I'm telling you, it wanted to kill me. Jerked that door right off the hinges. We just kept on going, left it there. I'm serious. He said, "Well, we ain't getting that back." I'm still looking around, making sure all my organs are there, you know. Sorry. That's about all you're going to get out of them. I mean, you put a burgundy door on that thing. So now it's lime green gray with a burgundy door. And the pen came out of that column, and we just duct taped it up. My first car, this is way off the sermon. My first car was a Chevette we pulled out of the junkyard, a 1982 Chevette, Brother Terry, with a corner panel knocked out of it. We beat on that frame. My uncle made a wager with my cousin that he could straighten that frame out, who both of them worked in body shops. He said, you never keep a set of tires on there. Never keep them balanced. He beat on that frame for 2 months till he got it straightened out. And they put a corner panel on and they painted it. You could put $5 of gas in that and run all week on it, I'm telling you. And my dad said, "You know, you can have that truck now." And so I gladly swapped it. I started priming that truck up. I got it all one color. My dad looked at it and they said, "My truck looks pretty good. I think I'll take it back, son. You can have the Chevette now." Those were great days, wasn't they? But we had to wash them vehicles. You say, "Well, they're terrible looking." Yeah, but they're going to be the cleanest bombers in town. You're going to mow the yard. Don't you thank God for your raisin? Don't you thank God you ladies know how to cook? Can I get an amen? Don't you thank God you know how to clean house? I'm telling you, there's a generation that they've been robbed or so, and they're blinded by so many things. They think a government check is the answer. They think somebody send them some money. They think the word free. No, you got to earn some things in life. You need to work for things in life. You want to do better, you got to work harder. Can I get an amen right there? And there's not always going to be somebody standing around giving you something. Amen? In fact, I found out most of the time if you just give somebody something, very seldom do they ever appreciate it. But when you work for something and you have to pay for something and you've got to take care of something, guess what? It'll put some character in your life. Amen. There's a sense of appreciation. You say, what's that got to do with church? It has everything. I'm going to tell you why. Because people come to church a lot of times nowadays and they're so blinded. They think the church owes them something. They come to church and say, well, I hope I get a blessing out of the service. You know, church is not about you getting a blessing. It's not. I hate to burst somebody's bubble, but we don't come to church to get blessed. That's the problem in America. People come to church and say, well, I'm going to listen to the choir and I hope I get blessed. Well, I'm going to listen to Brother Gravely preach. I hope he's got a good sermon because I want to be blessed. That's not what church is about. Church is not about getting. Church is about giving.
Amen.
We come to worship. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, worship means you got to give something. Worship means you got to put something in. You say, I want to be blessed. Don't worry about being blessed. Worry about giving God praise, as she said. Worry about giving God glory. Worry about giving to God the first fruits of your increase that God has blessed you with. Worry about giving God praise and song. Worry about giving God praise in the Word of God. And if you'll just give God what belongs to Him, and it all belongs to Him, every song belongs to Him, this entire service belongs to Him. Every dime and dollar that goes to that offering plate, it belongs to Him. And if we'll give to Him, guess what? He'll bless us in return. Amen. See, you're never disappointed if you say, you know what, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to be blessed. I'm just going to be a blessing. From the time I get on the property, when I walk in, I'm going to shake hands and say, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. How are you doing? How are you doing? Instead of coming in like an old grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Ah! I mean, your husband walks 6 feet in front of you because he's afraid. Instead of coming in just grouchy. I don't understand people come to church in a bad mood. Is that right? God's been good to you. He let you get out of the bed this morning to come to church in a bad mood. He put breath in your body. I'm telling you, every service, it ought to be hard for me just to get through a service. So many people want to brag on Jesus for how good He's been to them. I'll have to be finding a place to just hook up and put a sermon in somewhere because God has been good to us. God has blessed us. God has opened the windows of heaven. I don't want to be blinded to God's blessings. I don't want to forget what God, this boy forgot everything. And he said he represents a nation that's been blessed, but he's a nation that's been blinded. He represents a nation that's backslid. Notice verse 13. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into far country. He walked away from his father. He walked away from God. America's walked away from God. She has strayed from God. She has fallen into selfishness and sin. The me generation. America has become about themselves. I remember whenever social media first came out and somebody said, take a selfie. I thought, what in the world? What is a selfie? I thought, whatever that is, I don't want it. I didn't know if it was a pill or a picture. Somebody said, take a selfie. I'm like, I don't want a selfie. You know what a selfie is, don't you? You take a picture. And now they got the selfie stick. I call it the stupid stick. Hold that stupid stick up and take a picture of yourself. If you're taking a picture of family, that's okay. But if you're so into yourself, you need help. You need spiritual help and you need psychological help. Can I get an amen right there? I'm going to tell you something. Men definitely don't take selfies. Is that right? That's about as gay as you can get. Can I get an amen right there? Men don't run around taking selfies of themselves. That'd make me real nervous, amen. If you're a teenage boy and you're taking selfies of yourself, standing in front of a mirror, taking pictures, God help you, amen. You need help's what you need, amen. Because I'm going to tell you, what a selfie says, it's all about me. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, just hold on, amen. Some of you are turning pale on me right now, but I'm just telling you the truth this morning. I'm telling you, we're in a nation that's backslid because they're so ate up with themselves, amen. God didn't put me on this earth so that I can live the American dream and make life all about me. No, I'm telling you something. God got you up this morning so you can honor Him and please Him and so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. A nation that's backslid, that's all about themselves. And then a nation that's broken. If you get to verse number 14, he spends all. There arose a mighty famine in the land. God uses the famine in verse 14 in the field in verse 15 to show this boy how broke he is. You know, God has no problem bankrupting America. And I thank God for Donald Trump. I don't believe Donald Trump is saved, and I'm praying for him. And if that makes you mad, then you pray for me. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to take a risk because I love what he's standing for and say he's saved. I'm going to pray for his soul. You say, what if you're wrong, Brother Gravely? There's some things I'll be thrilled to be wrong about. And if he's saved and I'm wrong in what I'm saying, then hey, I'll be so happy that he's saved. But the worst thing we can do is not pray for that man's soul. And I believe God has raised him up for such a time as this. But he's not the answer to America. I know what the stock market's doing. I know it's at an all-time high. I know it's breaking all-time records. And I'm thankful for it. I don't want it to be the other way. Amen. That'd be foolish. But what I'm saying to you is God knows how to bankrupt this country. America is spiritually bankrupt this morning. And that don't care how strong the economy is. I don't care how strong the military is. And boy, I thank God for our military, don't you? Brother, I'm telling you, I'm glad we got more planes and we got more tanks and we got more missiles and we got more guns and we got more enlistment. I'm glad. I'm thankful for every ounce of that. I appreciate the armed forces, don't you? But there's no military might on this earth that can stay the judging hand of God from a nation that turns their back on Him. It wouldn't take God one day to bankrupt this. I woke up this week, I think it was Tuesday, my phone went off. And I didn't think there was anything worse, you know, than getting an alert in the middle of the night that says tornado warning. You know, y'all have got those. Yeah. I remember one night a tornado warning came and our phones went off and I thought it was an amber alert. And I looked up and it was a tornado warning. I thought, well, that's a blessing, ain't it, at 2 a.m.? Yeah. I didn't think there was anything worse than that. And then our phone went off, I think it was Tuesday, and it was an earthquake warning. 152 miles away, and it said this. It said, I think my wife took a picture of it. It said, if I remember right, it said, go to the lowest part, get on your knees, and hold on. I think that's what it said, wherever she's at. I said, take a picture of that. That's comforting, isn't it? Just hold on. So what'd you do? I went back to sleep. If I'm going to die, I'd rather die unconscious, wouldn't you? Go to sleep and wake up and see Jesus. That's right. But I don't even know what I was telling you now. Y'all messed me up so bad. Oh, I know what I was telling you. You realize God can send one earthquake. One hurricane. God knows how to bring this nation to its knees. One famine that all the money in the world could not pay for. A nation. God knew how to break this boy, and He knows how to break every nation. A nation broken. A nation believing. Look at verse number 17. And when he came to himself, isn't that what America needs?
Yes, sir.
America needs to come to themselves. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned. That's what America needs to say. We've sinned against heaven. Amen. And before thee. You see, this boy in these two verses, he believes in this text and something. He believed he was perishing. He said, I perish with hunger. America's perishing today. America needs the gospel. Brother Saunders, we need more churches started in America. We need more missionaries. We need more young people to surrender to the mission field. We need more church planting missionaries across America. We need more evangelists. Thank God you travel up and down these roads and stay in motels and prophets' chambers and go from place to place and live out of a suitcase week in and week out, not knowing what your next week's pay is going to be. Thank God for evangelists that travel and for missionaries that travel. Hey, it's not easy going week after week and sitting in Sunday school after Sunday school and listening to who knows what you listen to in some Sunday school classes, because it's not all this way everywhere you go. And sometimes you go and you preach and you present and you don't even get an offering somewhere and you wonder, and it costs you $100 to $150 just to get to that church. You say, does that happen? Just ask all these missionaries. It happens. Hey, listen, I don't care if, listen, if a missionary come in today and we gave them $2,000, you know how that works? The next church may not give them a dime. And the next church may give them $50. In fact, how many missionaries do we have here this morning? Would you please stand? How many missionaries do we have this morning? Go ahead and stand very quickly. We have four missionaries here this morning. And remember these four missionaries. How many of y'all think we ought to give every one of them $250 this morning? Amen. You say, why would it? Well, one, they need it. I can tell you that much. Number two, God will bless us for it. He already has, hadn't he? I mean, he just keeps blessing this church. You know why? Because we're not keeping it. And we're not wasting it. It's coming in and it's going out. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't do that just to do that. I'll tell you, as soon as I said the word missionary, the Holy Ghost said, give them all something this morning. Amen. Amen. Give them all something. And we're going to take good care of Brother Barnes. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Give them all something. You say, why? Because they're carrying the gospel. They're printing tracts. They're going to the foreign field. Give them all something. I told a pastor one day, he was complaining about a missionary making too much money. I said, have you lost your mind? I asked him that. I said, I don't care if they make, and I don't know one missionary making this, but I don't care if they make $10,000 a month. I don't care. You say, why, preacher? Because I've run up and down these roads. And I know how much it takes. They got all the bills sitting at the house that everybody else has. And they got the gas expense. A lot of times they got the motel expense. They don't ever say it. That's why when one just stops by, it's real, you know, just got to be good to them, don't we? They got all that expense. Most of them don't have any insurance. Most of them don't have any retirement. No IRA, no 401k. They don't have any. Most of them don't have health insurance. As I mentioned, you say, why? It's the sacrifice they make to carry the gospel full time. And don't get me wrong, God's been good to them. But I told that preacher, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if I don't know one missionary making 10 grand, not one independent Baptist missionary. But I said, even if they did, I said, let's start taking it all out. And if you make $1,000 a week, you're barely keeping your head above water nowadays. You know that. Isn't that true? There's four gone. I said, then let's just go ahead. Their gas bill's got to be 800 plus a month if they're doing any running at all. At least that. Then they're going to have to feed themselves running up and down these roads. And I'm telling you, now I like gas station food. It'll kill you, but I love it. I don't know why. Them roller dogs, I love them. And when they've been on there for a day, they taste better for some reason. They're like plastic. I don't know, with a little bit of hot dog flavor. But you can't eat roller dogs every day. And I'm telling you, go to me. Now, I'm going to tell you, you think gas station, some of y'all eat at McDonald's and you're making fun of me for eating gas station food. I'll tell you something. Nobody ever died eating out of a gas station, but I'm not sure about McDonald's. Amen. You're going to college. You're going to eat a lot of gas station food. Amen. You go to McDonald's, what does it cost? I mean, just to go to McDonald's, it costs $20, doesn't it? For what, two people eating cheap? I'm talking about a missionary making a lot of money. I don't know any missionary getting rich today. I don't know any evangelist other than Bobby Barnes making a lot of money. But you know what I'm telling you is that they carry the gospel. They're not making no money. And I think every missionary ought to have a retirement. You know why they don't have one? They can't afford one. I told that pastor that. I said, you know why they don't have retirement? They can't afford it. You have a retirement. If the church buys a pastor, boy, we're just going to cover it all this morning, okay? Because I got 5 more minutes left. If the church buys a pastor a car, most pastors will say, man, God's been good to us. Well, why not a missionary? Amen. Why can't a missionary have a retirement if a pastor can have one? I say get all you can, missionary, because you're going to need every penny of it. That missionary dies, what's that woman going to do? If he dies at 55 years old, half them churches are going to drop her. Oh, not this church. We'll keep on, won't we? But I'm telling you, half of them's going to drop her. I'm just saying this morning, this boy spent all that he had, but he came to the place where he believed that God, he believed that his father would take him home. And this morning, thank God for preachers that go across this country and pointing others to the cross. That's the hope of America. America needs to believe God again. America needs to look to God again. I'm talking about a nation that's believing, and then finally a nation that's blessed. That boy gets home in verse number 20. And you know what the father does? You know what the father does. He receives him gladly. Puts a ring on his finger, robe on his back, and shoes on his feet. And he kills a fatted calf, and they dance, and they're merry. And you know that's what's going to happen to Israel one of these days. One of these days, Israel's going to come to the Father. And the Father's going to receive that prodigal nation. And the Father's going to robe that nation. Israel's going to shine brighter than she's ever shined. The whole world is going to be looking to Israel. And we're going to Jerusalem because that's where the King of Glory is going to be sitting. You say, what are we going to do in Jerusalem? We're going to be merry. And we're going to celebrate. And we're going to worship. And that nation is going to have a ring on their finger. That's empowerment. They're going to have a robe, meaning they're going to be dressed in His splendor. And the church is going to be there too. And we're going to be dressed in all of our glory on that day. Just like this prodigal. Thank God America can turn back to God. 250 years of heritage. 250 years of hope. And we are a nation that in some ways, in many ways, we're lost today as a nation. America's lost her way. She's a prodigal nation. But just like there was hope, I bet there was people that said, there's no hope for this boy. He'll never come home. He'll never come back. But he did. I don't want to take away all you young people. I don't want to take away your hope. I know we're in the last days. But God can still send revival to this nation. If God could bring revival to Nineveh, then America can still have revival. Don't you buy into the fact, you may hear, and I'm not being critical, and don't you be critical if you hear a preacher say it. Maybe they just don't know, and maybe they truly believe it, but don't you buy into it. Because I'm not telling you what I think this morning, I'm just telling you this book. And you think about this book. If God can bring revival to Israel at the end of the tribulation period, and if God can bring revival to a Nineveh, as wicked as she was, far more wicked than America is today, then God can still bring revival to America. Don't you lose your hope. You may be the generation that sees the greatest revival before Jesus comes that this nation has ever seen before. I'm not giving up on her today. That means something, don't it? That statue means something. These stars and these stripes, men gave their lives for this flag. This morning.
Yes.
We should never be ashamed of being an American. We should never bow our heads.
That's right.
I'm telling you, people ought to be put in prison for spitting on that flag and burning that flag. I know it makes them mad. They're demon possessed, most of them.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with them. But I thank God for our nation. But she needs revival, don't she? Let's stand this morning.